Now we are live on Twitch. We are recording. Audio level's good. Hopefully. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. This right here. So we did a what do you want to call it? Turnsy backsy? We lied.
We did not lie.
Well, we fully intended to do Fairy Tale, mm-hmm. and then something happened, and we decided we didn't want to. What's up, Ajalit?
What?
If that's your real name. Somebody just jumped in the chat. We were going to do Fairy Tale, and in fact, we recorded Fairy Tale, and if you were in the Twitch stream, you would have seen that. But we decided that we were going to take a hard right.
We will come back to it. We just we had to take a break. We got really full on pizza. And when you were listening to it, you said it sounded like we were not interested in this show at all because we were tired and full of fucking pizza.
Yeah, so we recorded the last episode of The Shield Hero, which was fine. And then we took a break from the stream. Went to go get some dinner, and we got pizza, and we ate just a lot of fucking pizza. So by the time that we did actually record Fairy Tale, it sounded like we borderline hated the show. So we're going to scrap that one, but if you were in the Twitch stream, you got to see something that'll never, ever see the light of day. So congratulations.
But we will come back to this.
Yeah, we'll come back to Fairy Tale.
One day, and there's so many flipping notes.
Yeah, Fairy Tale.
So,
for a solid 2 days after Fairy Tale, we recorded that episode. My throat was so sore. There was just a lot to break down, and I felt like I can do a better job next time and not have so much pizza in my stomach weighing me down. So, we'll come back to it. But do you want to explain what show we decided to hard shift to?
Attack on Titan.
Yeah,
because it was going to be originally one of my picks, either Attack on Titan or Sword Art Online. And I decided Attack on Titan because we had just did something kind of similar to Sword Art Online since we did The Shield Hero. And it's something we've both watched and can enjoy watching time and time again because it's just that good.
It really is. And there's a lot that I know personally that I missed. Like, oh my God, I didn't soak up a lot of the knowledge. Because the first time I watched it was probably, last year, whenever I first started watching Attack on Titan. I waited a lot longer than I probably usually would have.
Yeah, because I had already watched it at that point.
We've got a ghost in the house. Anyways.
Tiny ghost.
It way past that ghost's bedtime, too. I was a total late start to Attack on Titan. I had watched the first episodes years back, and it was just, for whatever reason, I just didn't come back to it. Like, I don't know. I was probably watching some other show. I do remember whenever I was trying to watch it, it scared the shit out of Abel. Because, I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what the show was about. And then if we'll get into the first episode, but the way the first episode ends, it's graphic. And for at the time, he was probably 4. Not a good pick. So that's probably why I didn't continue to watch it at the time. But there's so much I missed just within these first 5 episodes. Like, just that little tidbit that Armin's named after his grandfather. Like, I picked that up and I totally missed that in my first watch through.
I obviously missed that both times because,
Well, you got to think about it. When we originally watched the show, we weren't intending on reporting back on it or doing a podcast. So we're on episode 21. So,
I watched it originally, I watched it in Japanese. So
that's true. That's probably you probably missed quite a bit just trying to keep up with speech.
Different. I mean, I walked in on a friend's house watching it. It was like episode 3 or 4. And I'm like, what the fuck are you watching? And she's like, you've not seen Attack on Titan? And I was like, no. So she started it over and we sat there and I swear to God, we watched the first season. And I was just like, what?
It's so good. And honestly, because I'm we've been exposed to like the later seasons, and it's a much more of a serious tone.
Yeah.
I would have probably died on the hill of saying that there were no jokes in Attack on Titan, like it was all serious, because I'm used to like season 4 and season 3 where it's very much no joking around type of shit. But going back and watching this this first season so far, there's a lot more humor in the show than what I remember.
I know, because I don't really remember it being like that either. I feel like now it's just kind of like, not necessarily depressing, but it is depressing because everything's like borderline war and serious and everything. And
well, Aaron, he ran out of tears, so, you know.
Well, at some point, you just quit being a pussy.
He's still being a pussy.
I didn't know if I could say that.
I don't know.
That's why I said puss. But because that's a cat.
Well, I'm sure that I've said worse on Twitch. So, okay, before we take too much of a spiral, we are live on Twitch. You can follow my Twitch, twitch.tv/TheRomeoStone. All these links that we're going to get through in the housekeeping notes are going to be in every description of every podcast episode. But I am Romeo Stone. This is Peachly. Say hi, Peachly.
I'm going to yawn a lot.
Just don't yawn into the mic, because every yawn I'll have to edit that out. See, look, you get an exclusive already. You get to hear her yawn because I, you know, we're live on Twitch.
I'm going to charge for that too.
Like I said before, we're live on Twitch. Every recording session we do live on Twitch, so you get the raw, unedited versions. Any joke or anything I have to edit out, any dead space, if that's your thing, you get to experience all of that during our live recording sessions, because after this, the VOD will eventually go away. I edit it, everything, make the audio sound all pretty, and then I'll put it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all of those places. So they will live forever there. But join our Facebook group and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or whatever podcast platform that you're using. That helps us out a ton. So the more reviews we get that are good, the more it pushes us to the top whenever you search any kind of anime podcast. Leave us a voicemail. Send us an email. If you have any requests, anything to say, opinions, dad jokes, whatever. And as always, our logo was made by Bluebird Media. For all of your art inquiries, contact Brandon and tell him that we sent you. How would you describe Attack on Titan for anyone who has not seen it before? How would you frame it?
It's creepy. It's gory. It's beautifully drawn.
Yes.
And the music that they choose with each scene, I feel like really makes you feel what that character's going through. And it's just very well put together. It doesn't feel like it's all over the place. You get basically aside from every story. It's just so good.
It really is.
All these amazing things that you can get out of an anime put into an anime.
You know, it's honestly, I'm a huge fan of, we did a series on Tokyo Ghoul, but the first season of Tokyo Ghoul is kind of the same for me with Attack on Titan. The way they put all of those things you just set together, art, music, but it's even more than that. With both of those series, they share sound. Not just the music and setting the tone, but just down to the sound. If you put on a pair of headphones, or if you listen to it on a decent, like I watched it on my computer, so I got the bass rumbling also. But every little thing, just go back and watch any episode, and just the sound quality and the things that they add in that they honestly didn't have to. It's just so perfectly done.
Like watching it and seeing it and hearing it in that aspect, and really getting yourself involved in the characters when something happens and you hear it, it just like hits you in the chest.
Mm-hmm. It's the ability to make you give a shit about the story.
It does a really impressive good job.
Because as much anime as we've watched, or as much shows as we probably try to get into that just didn't click for whatever reason, it's kind of like, that's their shortcoming, where Attack on Titan really excels.
And I'm an emotional person as it is. We all know this. Maybe a little too emotional. I get very into things and I cry very easily, but I don't think I've ever cried as much as I have in any type of anime aside from watching Attack on Titan.
Would you say it's probably your anime Game of Thrones equivalent?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've seen some anime characters that I like die or supposedly or whatever, but watching things that I've watched in Attack on Titan and seeing what I've seen and knowing what I know now, yeah, I could cry right now. I feel it. The tears, they're in there. They're welling up. They're getting ready.
You're beating your mic.
Bitch.
So to formally break the show down, the first season of Attack on Titan, the anime television series, it covers the first story arcs, so chapters 1 through 34 of the original manga. Attack on Titan is set in a world where humanity lives inside cities surrounded by enormous walls due to the Titans, who are gigantic humanoid beings who devour humans. If I remember correctly, the walls are like 50 meters tall, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to their knowledge, that wall is like, you know, there's no way a Titan can climb it, step over it, etc. So the story follows the adventures of Eren. I'm going to maybe mess up the last names, but Eren Jaeger, his childhood friend Mikasa Ackerman, and Armin Earlhart. Earlhart. I think I may have gotten this right. Armin's last name is really weird to say for whatever reason. But their lives were changed forever after a colossal Titan breaches the wall of their hometown. So vowing revenge and to reclaim the world from the Titans, Eren and his friends join the Scout Regiment, an elite group of soldiers who fight Titans. So that's kind of like the overarching description of season one. So we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty as we break into the story. And I still don't think I can say their city's name right, but I'm going to give it a shot. Episode 1, To You. In 2,000 years, the fall of Shiganshina? Part 1. How do you say it?
I don't know.
Shiganshina? I think that's right. Shiganshina. All right, taking it from the top. Episode 1, To You, in 2,000 years, the fall of Shiganshina, part 1. After 100 years of peace, humanity is suddenly reminded of the terror of being at Titan's mercy.
Could you just imagine?
Fuck that.
Living in an area that you knew you couldn't go outside of because there was giant people that ate tiny people, and then you see a giant person, and it's like, oh, we're about to die.
So I apologize for anyone who actually does like the movie, but the Attack on Titan action movie, I very much, I want someone to do a version of that movie realistic, like, I don't know if the word realistically is the right word. I want someone to have another go at it, basically, because,
somebody else.
You know, the idea and even the trailer seems like, okay. The actors were definitely, I don't think, correct for the roles. There were some silly looking ones, but like it was very bad. I would love to see like a Godzilla versus King Kong type of budget movie on Attack on Titan, but capture the horror element that you would actually feel.
I kind of forgot about that movie because we didn't make it very far, I don't think, into the movie.
It's a two-part movie,
before
I think.
We were like,
I remember my exact words were, for the love of God, can we turn this shit off?
I mean, we were excited to watch it at first, if that means anything to anybody. We were excited.
We were so excited that I literally bought the Funimation app, because I think at the time it was the only place you could find it.
Yeah.
I got the Funimation app just to watch that movie. A movie night, everything, and then I think we didn't even get past the opening credits.
No, we got a little into the story, but it just
it reminded me of someone on TikTok or like YouTube doing like a low budget film.
That
with
guy
the
who
screen.
Does the anime character, the different anime characters.
Yeah.
Face.
Well, yeah, that guy.
He could probably make a better Attack.
There's another guy. I can't remember his name though. He lives in like Brazil or something.
We should probably give it another chance.
Yeah, maybe.
I say as my eye twitches violently. Maybe under the supervision of alcohol.
How about this? We will actually stream it. Well, we're not going to stream the movie on Twitch, but we'll live react on Twitch to the movie as we watch it.
So y'all can just watch us complain the entire time about how much fun we are not having.
We can just make fun of it the whole time. That's fine.
I think we should make a thing out of it. We should drink every time. It's just horrible. Which would be the entire movie. We're going to be plastered. Y'all going to see me on the floor. If I start taking my socks off, don't let me have any more drinks.
So the episode opens with a shot of the colossal titan looking over the wall and with Aaron saying, this quote's pretty cool, but he says, and just like that, everything changed. At that terrible moment in our hearts, we knew home was a pin humanity cattle. I don't know why, but that quote was just the way he delivers it at the beginning of the episode is just so cool. And like it very much encapsulates who Aaron is to his core as a person in at least this season. A negative Nancy.
Hey, some of us, we just, it's what we do. Somebody's got to be negative. Can't be positive all the time.
Who would you say the positive person in this series is?
Levi.
He is.
Because no matter what, he ain't dying.
He's like maybe a realist at that. He's not positive, I wouldn't say.
Sasha.
It's the potato girl, right?
Yeah, Sasha.
Okay.
I was going to say Armin, but he's kind of crybaby too, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Mikasa, but she's more of a realist. I think it's just an Ackerman thing. They just don't give a shit. They're going to kick ass either way.
So for over a century, humans have been living in settlements surrounded by 350-meter gigantic walls, while Maria, while Rose, and is it Walsina? Like as in John Cena? S-I-N-A? So like the way to break that down is that it's basically broken up into those three sections and it's really class that separates them. So Cena is in the middle, then there's Rose, then there's Maria. And of course the richest people are in the center with the most protection. And then it just goes down the line. And so like our characters that we're going to be following, they're from Walmaria. But these walls, they prevent titans from getting in. Aaron Yeager of the town called Shiganshina. That's as close as I'm going to get. And thank God that the place gets destroyed and I don't have to say the name anymore.
Oh my God.
Wishes to see the outside world by joining the scout regiment as he likens living in the cities to livestock. His friend Mikasa and their mother, Carla Yeager, are against him joining the scouts. Even after seeing the scouts, though, there's a scene where the scouts are coming home and they are just fucking demolished. They're like people missing limbs, eyeballs. There's a scene where the leader gives the mother of one of the soldiers an arm.
She was asking about her son.
Yeah, he's like, please.
That's all they had.
Please tell me that he died for a reason, and then like he freestyles like,
he
died for no reason. It's my fault. I sent him in there. This is all I have left. And she unwraps this cloth, which I thought that it was gonna be like his cape or something like that, but it's like his fucking arm, and it's the only thing that made it back from the trip.
I'm surprised she didn't pick it up. I'm like, what do you want me to do with this?
It'd be even better if she would reuse it and slap him in the face with it. But his father was, you know, impressed by the fact that even though he saw that, you know, the soldiers come back demolished, that it just kind of fueled him even more to join the scouts. So he promises him that if he's good, he'll show him what he's been working on in the basement. And we'll come back around to that because we never get that far because of the Titans attacking. But after Aaron and Mikasa rescue their friend Armin from a group of bullies, the Colossal Titan, a 60-meter Titan, so it's 10 meters taller than the wall that's been protecting them all these years, suddenly appears and knocks down the gate to the district, not saying that word again, which lies in the outer edge of Wall Maria, allowing smaller titans to enter.
And boy, do they enter.
Yeah. So they pretty quickly take over. So up until this point, it has introduced us to one of, what are the drunk scouts? They're not scouts. They're something police.
I mean, there's them. Aren't they called like the military police or something?
Military
like
police. So yeah. We've been introduced to Hans, who is one of the leaders of the military police. And up until this point, since the walls have been so effective at keeping the Titans out, they're basically just glorified drunks.
Yeah, and they sit around drinking.
Like, they've never had to go outside of the wall to do anything. And most of them have probably never even seen a Titan up close and personal at all. So, like, that's after they get through the wall, that's all they have to protect them are those guys. Hans is very sweet, but like he's nice at like Aaron and Mikasa and everybody. But they're basically just mall cops, if you want to break it down. So as the town erupts into a mass panic, Aaron and Mikasa rush back to their house, only to see Carla pinned under their collapsed house, which is their mom. As a smiling Titan approaches them, Aaron and Mikasa refuse to leave until the city guard Hans arrives and assures them that he will defend them. But you want to say what happens?
He gets scarred. He gets overtaken by fear when he sees the smiling Titan.
Yep.
And decides to just grab the kids and run, which is what Carla wanted him to do to begin with, because her legs were crushed. There's really no saving her. But it was so sad seeing that happen, and then her immediately saying, "Don't leave me." I'm like, "Oh my god, really?" And then she like covers her mouth after she says it. But when he stops and looks at the smiling Titan, and it does that like far away look up and then the look on its face, I was like, oh god, I would have reacted the same way probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sad, like the very last thing you see is her getting eaten and just bitten in half, like, or whatever. So yeah. I think that right there was enough to sell me on the show, like getting to just sit down and just focus on the show and watching it for the first time, like last year or whatever. I was like, oh shit, like this anime is different. You know, it's not all silly, funny games or anything like that.
And I love how things that we will get into circle back to all of this. So it all aligns with each other, if that makes sense. It's not just like storytelling from this point to this point. It's all going to tie in together. Everything that you witness and see and learn is going to have something to do with a future episode or a past episode. And it keeps it so interesting, but at the same time, you're like mind fucked.
Yeah, it's definitely got rewatchability, and at first I really didn't realize that until we decided that we were going to do a series on the first season, and I think you were the one that pointed it out as you were watching or rewatching the episodes. There's a scene later on in a few episodes where he's getting mad, and his head is smoking.
It was after he got injured from trying to do the training where they're hosting themselves up in those harnesses, and he smacks his head on the ground when they're sitting in a room talking together. He's got the bandage around his head and he's kind of zoned out, but you can see smoke coming off his head because that's what the Titans do. They heal themselves. So it's like, I didn't notice that before. Yep. Now it makes freaking sense.
Or even with this first episode, whenever we see, no, this is going to be a down the way, but we see the lightning strike as the Colossal Titan transforms or whatever. It's like, oh shit, like that's, you know, someone transforming into a Titan. But way back then, we didn't put that together yet. So
we've not witnessed that because we just see these other Titans existing.
It's almost as if they had a plan this whole time and they're just executing.
Whoa.
Thank you, Attack on Titan Committee. So that's kind of where that episode ends. Episode 2, let's hit that.
Episode 2. God, that day, the fall of... I can't even attempt to say it.
Shiganshina.
I'll say it. Why does it say part two?
Because it's part two of a two-part episode series.
Okay, I see it now. My bad, sorry. After the Titans break through the wall, the citizens of...
Just break it down. Shina.
The citizens of that area must run for their lives. Those that do make it to safety find a harsh life waiting for them, however. Because people are fucking rude. And that's every day, nowadays.
That's another cool thing about the series is that it really hits on, like, real things that happen in real life.
Especially when it's come to things like war and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the famine and stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
Well, like, it just even just think about, like, I promise that we won't get political on this show, like, hardly ever. But, like, Ukraine right now, what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, with the refugees and stuff like that, it totally hits different watching the episodes now, seeing the refugees coming from Maria into Rose, where the people that are living in Rose are kind of, like, not racist, but, like, they're upset that these refugees are coming into their shit and eating their food, taking up space there, because before they even were there, there was a mild famine going on there. So with all of these other people coming in as refugees, they're like, you know, what the fuck are these people doing? Like, they're taking up space. In a normal anime, usually you would be like, you know, like, rejoice, like, oh my God, let's help, you know, whatever. But, like, this is real. This shit is happening right now as we speak. Hans apologizes to Aaron for not saving his mother, admitting he was afraid of the smiling Titan and that both Aaron and Mikasa are still weak children.
I mean, who wouldn't be? That bitch is a freak.
Like, as sad as that is, like, just imagine if that was your mom getting eaten. But it's kind of like, I don't know, like, how would you react? Like, you're parents that you love very much just being eaten in front of your eyes.
I think I'm the wrong person to ask that right now. I'm just kidding. Of course I'd be sad.
Did you just look away?
No, I'd be sad. Me and my mom are having some differences right now, but I'd be sad. I mean, I don't want my mom to die at the end of the day just because we don't get along. But, you know.
Aaron's perseverance, as big of a crybaby I think he is in this first season sometimes, which is like a pet peeve of mine with anime, which is unfortunate because it happens a lot. But his perseverance to keep pushing forward to getting himself to a point where he can kill all the Titans or whatever is impressive.
It broke me down when he was reminiscing about his mom and he's like, I didn't tell you I loved you enough, basically, and shit like that.
Well, he was kind of being a cunt. As teenagers can be, saying things that are mean, that they don't necessarily mean, but they're just, you know.
Been there.
Yeah. So.
Hormones, testosterone, it's running, it's going through the courses. Sorry.
But I mean, like, how many times did you say that, you know, I hate you to your parents or said something mean about them or to them? Just imagine, like, right after that, never been able to, like, apologize or make up for it. And then, like, your parents just not there the next second.
I did tell my mom one time that she had a hairy chin and she must have got all that extra hair from my dad's eyebrows.
So you understand.
Anyways.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's coming from a very real type of situation that a lot of people can relate to. But even though he is very upset, his main thought process is, I need to get myself to a point where I can kill them back.
And he never is hungry for vengeance.
Vengeance.
It's like Batman.
He never loses that either.
No,
so, like,
God,
I feel like you can watch this season and compare it to season 4 and find some kind of a relation. It's just that he's in a different part of his mission to accomplish that one goal.
He's a big boy. Got his big boy panties on.
It does look cooler than season 4.
I won't say anything because it's probably weird.
He does get a haircut at some point in season 4, but we'll leave it right there. If you've seen the episode, you know. If you know, you know.
That looks bad. Stupid.
What's hilarious is that it kind of looks like Mikasa's haircut whenever he says something mean to her about her hair being too long in this first couple episodes.
Well, and he wasn't really being mean.
Well,
he said she didn't get to trim it.
It's not what he said, it's how he said it. That was mean.
I don't know anybody who says it one way and it comes out a complete different.
I don't either.
And hurts people's feelings.
You should tell that person to be a bit more sugary.
Hey, I think you should be a bit more sugary when you're talking to me.
All right. You look really pretty right now. Yeah, take a sip of that tea. It's sweet just like you. So, the armored titan rams the gates, breaching the inner wall Maria, and causing those inside to retreat even further into wall rows. So, it's getting worse, basically. They're trying to close up the wall and push as much of those titans out as possible, get as many people into safety. But the armored titans just shows up and just like, I'm here to fuck shit up. And that's exactly what he does. I still think that the armored titan probably looks the coolest.
I would have to disagree.
You think Aaron is? He is cool, but he has like the only disservice to Aaron Yeager's Titan is the fact that he is Aaron in my book.
It's the hair and the abs.
He does look cool. Okay.
I don't like his scream in the English version in a Titan form. I think he sounds stupid. They need to cross over the original scream that he had in the Japanese to that, because he sounded so freaking metal.
I don't understand why they didn't just use the same screech for both. Like, you know, like I know, like, it's probably like whenever they went to go dub it or whatever, they just re-recorded it.
Yeah, obviously, do a Titan scream, and the guy's like, "Good." I'm like, "No, keep the original one. He sounds stupid."
But it just seems silly that they re-recorded it because it's not like he's speaking English.
No, it's like a sound effect essentially. Yeah. So just leave it alone. It was such a good thing, and I think that's why I don't like watching it in English so much, is because I don't like the way his voice sounds. I'm very picky.
So what you're saying is that somebody needs to go back and re-edit the episodes and replace this scream with a good one, and then it'd be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So if someone could hop on that and let us know when you're done.
Right now.
Sometime later after the Armored Titan, Aaron has a strange dream in which his grieving father forcefully gives him an injection and his key before being woken up by Mikasa. But, okay, so this is something that we're going to start to see interwoven. And if you a first watch through, you wouldn't really think anything of it besides, oh, he was just having a nightmare, or, oh, that was weird. But it's like, going back and watching these episodes again, it's like, oh my God, that was so cool. Because you know. So Aaron grows disgusted with the people of Walrose, as the latter do not like sharing their food or homes with the refugees. So he's going around, he's picking fights basically with the, who is that guy? I don't think he was very significant as far as role goes, but he was part of the military police.
He was a jerk.
Yeah.
Didn't want to share his bread.
But he's he's standing up for himself and his fellow people from Maria, but he's also still like a little pipsqueak. He's a little kid still. I don't know what age they're saying that he is at this point, but he's what? 10, maybe? Something like
Aaron?
That? Yeah, the guys.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the guy.
No, he was a full-on grown
adult. I was
going to say,
he was an adult. Aaron, yeah, they're still children.
He's basically picking fights as a 10-year-old. But during the next year, as a food shortage becomes apparent, the government orders the refugees to either work on the farms or fight to reclaim Walmaria. So we're talking about 250,000 people, which is 20% of the populace, choose to fight, only to be wiped out by the Titans. So Aaron vows to revenge and joins the army alongside Mikasa and Armin. But that is 250,000 people just wiped.
Bah.
And if that's like 20% sounds like a small number out loud, but imagine like 20% of the populace just gone just like that, that's a lot of fucking people that the Titans just ran straight through.
Yeah. But I mean, half those people probably weren't even ready to fight Titans, because it's not like they had been beyond the wall, like the scouts, you know, actually facing it day to day.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, the scouts are the best of the best, and they got fucked up by regular Titans. Like, as far as we know, and I don't think it ever elaborates, but they were just fighting regular Titans. It's not like they were fighting the Colossal Titan or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
Those are regular, just derpy derp McDerpers just running around blah, 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 and eating all of them. Episode 3, A Dim Light Amid Despair, Humanity's Comeback, Part 1. So Aaron begins his training with the Cadet Corps, but questions about his painful past overwhelm him. When he struggles with a maneuvering exercise, Bertolt and Reiner offer kindly advice.
Sorry. Because I know.
It's so funny that they were the ones that are nice, considering what we know now. So the drill instructor, Keith, how do you say his name? Sadies? Whatever, the bald guy with the goatee with the dead eyes, inspects the new recruits of the 104th Cadet Corps and provides a barrage of verbal insults. So again, hitting on something that is very real in our world. Whenever you join the Army here in America, they drill out, they just punish you, and they try to carve out every bit of you and, you know, kind of like try to factory reset you. And then, you know, rehabilitate you the way that they want you to be. So it's a very real thing. And I'm sure we're not, you know, exactly the only people that we do that to, Army-wise. Like, I'm sure that happens all over the world.
I wouldn't make it. First time they start yelling at me, I'd start crying.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been a very good Army material. But when he comes across Sasha Browse, who is eating a potato, he punishes her by having her run around the camp until sunset and not giving her any food or drink. You want to break down that scene?
She even offered him. I like how she's like, you can have half, and it's clearly when she broke it in part, that wasn't half of the potato. You'd already eaten half of it.
What's fun is that she says half, and then, like you said, that it's not half correctly. She looks at the potato and is like, which one am I?
She literally keeps the bigger half. She like breaks it, looks at it, and it's like, here's a smaller piece, but you can have half. It's like telling your five-year-old you cut it in half, but you really didn't. You're keeping the bigger piece of yourself. And they're just an idiot, and they don't know the difference.
I love how utterly confused he is. Like, no one has ever had the balls or the lack of brains to do something like that. And he's like just berating these people with insults and shit like that. And he just hears her eating or chomping on the potato, and he just slowly walks over like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, what did she say? Something about she thought she would provide shelter to the potato in her yes. stomach or something.
Yep.
It's good shit.
I was genuinely confused by all that. I was like, why? Okay, it's Sasha. It makes no sense.
I mean, it's another example of how there is actually humor in this show, which I did not recall, you know.
Mm-mm.
But there's a bunch of stuff.
It's been a while since we watched the first season, so.
Oh, yeah. And at that time, whenever I started my watch through, like, we were almost gearing up for season 4 to come out. So, like, I was just cruising through the episodes. So Aaron does best, being a little baby. He develops a rivalry with, is it Jean? I'm not saying that last name. Kirstein? Jean. We're just going to go with Jean, who desires a safe and easy position in the military police regiment within the inner city walls. So those are the drunks that we got introduced to in episode 1 that basically just sit around playing cards and dice and shit like that. So the recruits train on a omnidirectional mobility gear, which I think they shorten it down just to ODM apparatus throughout the series. ODM gear, basically. Where they have to balance themselves while suspended on cables. After Aaron has trouble balancing, he asks Reiner and Bertolt to help and discover they too are among the few who have personally encountered Titans. So they claim that they're from a distant village in the mountains. And whenever the Titans attacked. Holy shit, he does say that, doesn't he?
Is that the Attack on Titans?
Yeah. So
that's the name of the show.
They're saying that their village was attacked around the same time the attack happens on Anmaria. But they are good at the ODM gear training, so he's asking them for help, and they do help him out. They like sneak onto, don't they sneak onto the thing at night and do some training?
I think they did.
I don't know. They snuck around, did some shit. But yeah, they had some nice words to offer him. The next day, Aaron balances on the apparatus but falls. But Keith discovers that Aaron's apparatus was defective and passes him after a retry with different equipment. So, yay.
Why didn't they check that to begin with?
I don't know. You feel like they would, right?
Would have saved him all of that embarrassment.
Well, he even says that that's somebody's job and he's going to have their ass now that they skipped over this one.
Your ass is grass and I'm going to mow it.
But it was cool. Like the dynamic of he is so dead set on killing Titans and like becoming a scout and this and that. And he couldn't master something that everyone else could. And they didn't even have a fraction of the devotion to get to scouts as he did. So like that little hang up right there is like a very humbling moment for him where he had to break down and ask for help. Like he asked, obviously, Armin and Mikasa, but mm-hmm. they weren't able to break it down in a way for him to kind of comprehend to where he could, you know, get any better at it.
Help me, help me. I suck.
But yeah, what we talked about earlier with the smoky head, whenever he face planted during his first try at the Odium gear, that's when we see that scene.
Yeah.
And knowing what we know now, we know why he was smoking.
Yeah, I never even noticed it the first watch through.
Well, our first watch through, even if we did notice it, we probably just thought it was like a weird anime thing, you know, just a weird animation that anime
do. He's venting through his skull.
Yeah. Yeah, smoky ears.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's hit episode 4.
Yeah, I know everybody just noticed you solely trying to nonchalantly show off your guns.
Pokeball? Hold on. Pokeball? Pokey egg. Is there a slip and slide in this room? Or are you just happy to see me?
Episode 4. Shut up. The night of the closing ceremony, humanity's comeback, part 2. Annie proves her skill in a sparring session. Jan? Is that supposed to be John? Jean? Who's Jan? That's supposed to be Jean, right?
I know the character. It's not Jean, though. There's a guy that all he thought about was he all he's ever wanted to do was serve the king.
Okay.
He looks a lot like Jean, but he's not. He's got darker hair. Let's just say his name is Jan.
Okay. Annie proves her skill in a sparring session. Jan dreams of serving alongside the king. And graduation day brings shocking revelations along with a sudden outbreak of violence. What more to celebrate a ceremony than freaking violence?
Oh my God. What is that thing that people used to scream whenever someone was about to get into a fight?
World Star?
Yeah, World Star.
World Star?
For whatever reason, I could not think of that. My brain was going, Brick Squad. Like fucking Waka Flocka Flame. I was close to having like a fucking aneurysm, I think, just now. Sophia Fox 21, welcome to the chat. If you have any questions, put it into the comments below, and we'll get to them afterwards.
You got girls in your chat now.
Hey, Sophia might be a boy. Who knows? Did we just assume it's gender? Anyways.
Assume your gender.
I think you already did. Ba-dum-tsh. So 5 years since Walmaria fell, Keith evaluates the recruits for their strengths and weaknesses. After training in hand-to-hand combat with Reiner and Annie, Aaron learns later that night that Jean and several other recruits hope to join the military police regiment to avoid having to fight Titans. Very interesting. So, like, the better they do, the more likely they can pick a safe place to go, which is crazy. Like, I don't know nothing about the military at all, but, like, it's crazy. Like, you're putting the most able people to save, you know, Maria in a position where they can just hide out behind a wall. And you're forcing the people at the lower part of the class to go out to the scouts. So you're just tossing bodies at these Titans for what?
Well, some of them, remember, they just leave because they can't handle the training. So it's not like they're being forced to do it.
Yeah, but, like, you're not really giving them the choice. Like, you're like, become a farmer or go become feed for the Titans.
What would you choose? I'd be a fucking farmer. I'd be out there picking potatoes like it was nobody's business. Be Saucer's bitch.
What I would want to do is become really badass at the ODM gear because it looks so cool whenever they're like whizzing around.
So bad, but I know I'd be that first person that would smack into a building and decapitate myself.
Yeah, but you might just kill yourself. See, like, there you go.
Yeah, see, problem solved. I ain't got to worry about getting eaten.
Quick, harmless. You're not getting shredded by a Titan teeth and you don't have to plow any fucking fields. Boom. Best case scenario in this world. So, I mean, I say that I would like to become one of those, what do they call them? The scouts or whatever. But honestly, we'd probably be farmers, you know? Can you imagine, like, what it would physically take to even use ODM gear? Like, it would be insane.
Way more balance than what I've got.
Yeah.
See all these bruises on this legs? That didn't happen just because. It's because I have no balance. And, you know, you probably have to take way better care of yourself than I take care of myself. So here we are.
So on graduation day, Aaron and Mikasa rank among the top 10 of their class. They are eligible to join the military police regiment, but Aaron declines and announces that he is joining the scout regiment on the front lines, leading Armin and Mikasa to join him. So everybody else is kind of like, up until he does like the speech or whatever about him joining the scouts, everyone's kind of like gung-ho about going to the military police. Like, yes, we did it. It's like, he's basically like, you're pussies. And I'm gonna go kill some Titans.
It's been his goal. And he's going to meet it.
You want to go ahead and talk about Annie doing the leg sweep thing? Because I just wanted to point it out. Where she's like her fighting technique. Let's point that out.
She has a very particular fighting style. Which is very noticeable. No matter what she's doing, she's going to take your ass out. Even her stance alone, it's like Aaron pointed out. He's like, why is she standing like that?
Yeah, so she's got a very particular stance. Like, he even asked, like, did your dad teach you that? You know, like, it's very confusing for him. But, like, everyone else is either goofing off or is sort of poor at hand-to-hand combat. She is exceedingly good at it.
Annie is a boss in her own right. Like, that's a bad chick right there.
And no one else seems to notice this but Aaron, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, Bertolt kind of did. Not Bertolt, I'm sorry. Reiner kind of did, but he was like, I'm not going to push it. And
well, they notice for other reasons.
Well, I know that.
That'll make sense later on. But, like, they are the ones that point out to him, like, the hand-to-hand combat, it's pointless. You know, like, are you going to fist fight a Titan? Like, it's basically...
Could you imagine running up to a Titan? Man, that just stepping on you, man.
Yeah. So, like, if you think about it, like, honestly, like, why would they even teach that? You know, like, why would they even waste their time? But, you know...
To fight other people.
Yep. It's not to fight Titans. It's to fight your fellow human. So, they are assigned to the Trost District, one of the cities which is at the outer edge of Wall Rose, where they discover other classmates have joined. So his little speech made people change their minds from their class, and some of them did join the scouts with them. The colossal Titan appears and breaches the gate. So we see that lightning strike, and then suddenly, standing right behind Aaron is the colossal Titan.
He's just looking at him like this.
Yeah. It's a cool visual. So once Aaron regains his composure, because he was a bit a bit freaked out at first. And like, rightfully so. So if you felt the Colossal Titan walking up on you, like you're like, oh shit, that's what that is. Everybody get ready. But he's talking shit about Titans.
He just appears.
And then, there he is.
And the Colossal Titan radiates heat. So you could just, I'm sure he could just feel.
Yeah.
The heat. And it's like.
The literal atmosphere changed at the drop of a dime. So once he does regain composure, he takes command and orders a counterattack. So he does show initiative after a couple seconds, after the shock has worn off, where he's shown his ability to, at some point, become a leader. And that right there is where the episode ends. So we're going to, let's go ahead and jump in straight into episode 5. Episode 5, First Battle, The Struggle for Trost, Part 1. Eren faces off against the Colossal Titan. After it appears out of nowhere, he knocks a strategic hole in Wall Rose's gate. As Titans swarm the city, the newly graduated cadets are called in to fight in a brutal battle. Shit gets real in this episode.
It hits the fan and it spreads.
So the Colossal Titan destroys the wall's cannons, but it vanishes into a burst of steam when Eren prepares to attack its weak point, which we haven't discussed it yet, but the Titan's weak point is the nape of its neck. I don't think they know why it's their weak point, but that's the only thing that seems to kill them.
He does try to attack it, and then the steam blows him back. And by the time he gets himself regrounded, it's just gone. And he's like, the hell?
Yeah, the steam blows him back. And he even starts to come back in towards it. And that strike, it must have been so close. And the series would be so different if Eren had actually hit a spot. But it just vanishes. Just like the first attack 5 years previous. Just within a split second, the Colossal Titan is no longer there. It's fucking magic, bitch. Now you see me, now you don't, motherfucker.
It's John Cena.
Da, 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 da. I swear to God, if they did an American live-action version, he would be a Titan, wouldn't he? I swear to God, if the Titan did this too in the movie, it'd be like, we're fucking turning it off. Love you, John Cena. The military police regiment, they scramble to evacuate the people at the Trost District and set up defenses before the Titans enter the city. So we're starting to see mirror image of what happened 5 years previous. The only difference is that Eren and his friends are within sort of a state where they can defend. They can counter the attack. Yeah, they're not just helpless little kids anymore. They're trained killers now, and, they're not just running from the horrors. Mikasa helps with the evacuation while Eren and Armin provide a backup at the front lines. With the Titans now in the city, Eren recalls his lessons that in order to kill a Titan, they must strike the nape of its neck, as we said before. As Eren and Armin's squad attack, their comrades are killed or eaten by the Titans one by one, with Eren himself losing his left leg. This scene, and it happens pretty quick, within a 15-second span. Like, you're seeing these cadets that we've started to kind of get to know and build a form of an attachment to on some of these guys. They're just being smacked against the wall or eaten. Just like...
snatched out of the air.
Yeah, it's holy shit. And then whenever it does get Eren's, his left leg... it's like, Jesus Christ, that's our main character. Where are we going from here? But Armin, paralyzed with fear, is picked up by a bearded Titan and almost swallowed. Eren manages to drag and toss Armin out of the bearded Titan's mouth at the last moment. But Eren reaches for Armin with his left arm out of the bearded Titan's mouth, but the bearded Titan closes its jaws, severing Eren's arms and swallowing him whole.
Could you imagine watching your best friend getting swallowed? Getting eaten? I'm going to rephrase that because the first one sounded weird.
It would be traumatic.
I mean, when it first started and you see Armin sitting there with the fear on his face, you could really feel it in a way.
I couldn't imagine like having to watch this show week to week whenever it first came out, because like at that point I would just be like, I would be like hooked on this show. How do you come back from that? You know, like where do you go next? My guy just got Star Wars'd, you know, like he lost some limbs and then he got swallowed whole.
The main character just died.
And for anyone who does not get the Star Wars joke, most of the main characters are missing a limb or multiple limbs.
Don't feel bad. I just don't get it completely.
But there's no robotic arms in this world. But yeah, that's where the episode ends. So like we're ending on him losing arms, a leg, and then being swallowed whole. Where do we go from there? Well, either just watch the show, which I'm sure most of you have, or you can wait and you can listen to us talk shit about it next week. Or shoot the shit about it. Not talk shit about it. We love the show.
We don't talk shit about shows we... Jesus. Shows we like.
It's late.
I'm tired.
So on this watch through, how do you feel about the show? Like, obviously we love the show, but like starting to see all these like little nuggets of information that were seemingly left there on purpose.
You really wouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
Just watching it through the first time.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's weird, but okay. It's cool, I guess. And then you know what you know now and you watch it again. You're like, how did I not see that the first time? Because you didn't know. You would have never put the pieces together.
And like, basically this goes for most shows. Like, it seems like, you know, most shows, they write as they go. And if they have to make a meaning out of something, they have to like write themselves out of a corner. But with this show, it really does seem like, you know, obviously it's based on the books, but it seems like they had a lot of stuff planned in advance and not just like where they were going, but like bits of detail that make a lot more sense as you get further into the story.
It does not feel like the show was in any corners. It's a round room and we're just going around.
And like it's so crazy because like it expands so much from here. Like we're in the infancy of this show with season one. And if you were to just skip forward to season four, in particular, I remember season four, episode one going, what the fuck did I miss? Like, did I skip a whole episode or something? Because we're somewhere where I don't understand. There are people that seem like main characters, but I know are not the main characters. Like,
that's how I felt when I started it. And of course, I started in Japanese. So I was like, what the hell's going on?
Whenever I started episode one of season four, I was like, how the fuck did we get to Nazi Germany?
Yeah, I went back and watched the last episode of, you know, season three just to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then started four again. And I was like, I'm so lost. Who are these people?
When I tried watching it at first, it was in Japanese too, remember?
Because the devs weren't out. You were like, I can't do this.
I was like, I genuinely have a fucking headache. Because my ADHD is so fucking bad. But I really just wanted to watch it. Housekeeping notes, let's close out. Follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheRomeoStone. This is where we do all of our live recordings at this very moment. Join our Facebook group. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram. Take a second to leave a 5-star review on Spotify or whatever platform that you use. Leave us a voicemail or send us an email. All that stuff is going to be in the bio below. And for all art inquiries, reach out to Blue Room Media, ask for Brandon, tell him that we sent you. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to breaking down. Like, I feel like we're going to get to the end of the series and go, you want to just do season two?
I mean, there's some shows that we've done where I'm like, I don't know why we haven't done the season two of it yet. We're just doing season ones of everything.
Well, yeah. Like, well, the idea is that I don't want to blast through a show and never be able to come back to it.
Well, yeah.
But and in the fear that maybe someone like hates the show that we're doing and we do a switch and like, oh, finally something I don't hate.
Well, they can just go back to listen to our other episodes.
But at this point, we're 21 episodes deep. And this is our fourth show that we're doing? Or fifth show? Am I doing math right?
It's more than that, isn't it? We did Inuyasha.
Yeah, this is our fifth show. Yeah, so we did Inuyasha. We did, was Demon Slayer next? Yeah, Demon Slayer.
I think so.
Tokyo Ghoul. And we did The Shield Hero and Attack on Titan, all season ones. So we're five shows deep. And we can always come back to the well.
Is that really all we've done? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been five-part series on all the shows. So we're on episode 21, which is our fifth show that we're jumping into.
Okay.
I mean, if there's like something that's like super big that's happening, like we can jump straight into it, like an anime movie. Like, I think it'd be kind of cool to do a Dragon Ball Z, a Dragon Ball Super, that movie that's coming out, Superhero.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the old one. I was like, I ain't watching that again.
There's a lot of episodes of Dragon Ball Z. But yeah.
I'm not watching that movie again. The live action Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. No.
I thought you were talking about that at first. I was like, God, no. I am not putting myself through that torture.
Now, that would be something we watch live on Twitch and something that I would never have to touch my editing fingers to at all. We would just do a live reaction on Twitch and that would be there, done, we're good. Never have to watch it again.
Gonna be the same the whole time. It's literally this.
Imagine my face in the theaters whenever I went to go see that.
How do you think I felt? Because I was in the theaters too. I was so hyped and so excited. And I sat there and I was like,
I can't tell you how many times I like nudged my friend that had no idea of what Dragon Ball Z even was, but he went with me. And I was like, that's not how that happens. You know, just like,
I was with my ex-husband who was a huge fan and had seen more of it than I had and was sitting there also going, what the fuck is this?
It's like Master Roshi lives on a fucking island. This is all wrong.
Apparently not. But we, like, he had obviously, I'd watched it growing up, but I've never seen it in order. And this motherfucker had, like, the seasons and shit or whatever else. And I just remember being generally confused and looking at him and him being just as confused. So I didn't feel so stupid.
I will say it's a very, very poor representation of what Dragon Ball is. And they pretty much got nothing right. Except for the guy who plays Piccolo, which is Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He pretty much looked like Piccolo, I think. But other than that, Master Roshi wasn't on an island. He wasn't even bald, I don't think. And the hair, Goku's hair, looks stupid as shit. And he was playing... He went to high school in the movie. He didn't go to fucking school at all. He was raised by Gohan.
Not recommend. It's just bad.
Unless you're purposely just going to make fun of it. I will say the guy who plays Goku, I'm a big fan of that actor. He was in the show Shameless.
Not what to talk about.
Anyways. All right. Well, now that we've ranted long after our housekeeping notes, see you next week. Oh, follow me on Twitch so that you can watch us do this shit live. Because I'm going to cut out a lot of this bullshit.